Good morning to all of you, and thank you for taking a little bit of time from our busy life and to be here to be part of this a little event. It might be a little event, but it means a lot to those who understand the meanings of doing this for the little ones. They are a blessing to us, and not just a blessing, but you know, a blessing to all of us, because it really brings happiness to us. And even that there are a lot of work, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you look at that smile that she's giving us right here, she's like, oh, mom, you know what I got under me. They wake you up early, they keep you up, and they're the queens, they're the kings. You don't occur to them right away when they're calling for you. It can be a mess. But there are such blessings from God. That is a fact. And today we are gathering here together to witness a blessing and to follow not a command, but an example. An example that a lot of times, or many of us, they might misunderstanding. We all have our own ways to do the things, but we're gonna do the way the God told us or show us to do. So you can see here, her name is Hannah Sage Galvan. Did I say Sage? Okay. It's good to see you, my family here. So we're gonna be part of this beautiful time. And real quick, without taking too long, this is gonna be a baby blessing / service. So let's get to it. And I ask for you guys' prayers for me also. In Luke 2:22, a lot of you guys know this verse right here. When Jesus was born, they follow up a not a tradition, but in the old days, you know, at the age of, I would say 8 days, I believe, you will present the baby to the elders to bless them. And that is something that has been carrying on through the time, even into the time of Jesus when he was born. And so it says right here, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, and that is Jesus, who they brought him to Jerusalem, to the temple, to present him to the Lord. So this is a very good example that it clarifies our misunderstandings, maybe. There's not such a thing that is baptizing them at that age, because they have no guilt, they have no sin, they are babies, and God, all the babies are covered. They have no need to do those things, and that is the way we believe, not as Church of Christ, but this. It's right there in the scripture. So we follow up examples the way Christ put it to us. So this is a pretty good example that we are following today, as they brought him to the elder of the temple, which his name was Simeon. And if you remember exactly what he said, you know, he was waiting for the blessing, for the light of this world. Because really, a baby, when it comes to you as parents, he changed your whole lifestyle. And you just have to care for him. You know, as parents, we have that responsibility. That you're going to do the best you can to guide him and to direct him the best you can so he can be a person, someone that you may be proud of him for the things that he may do in life. And that's our goal. That's our goal. And who does not want the best for your children? You don't want them to go the wrong way, take the wrong path in life. You want the best for them to do in life. In Psalms 127:3-4, it says, Lord, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the Almighty Man, so are children of the youth. Children of God, is it? They are gifts, they are blessings. We trust in God for them. They are great support and defense to the family. They are God's glory. It says that if you want, as an old person, as a grown-up person, if you want to be in heaven with God, you have to be like a child. Because for them is the kingdom of God. So for ourselves, we include ourselves, even if you're like in your 40s, 80s, we're still children of God. And so he put us an example. You want to be with me in my heaven and my kingdom, you have to be as a child. So as you see these child growing up in your own eyes, it's a good example that to you. In real life as a parent, because you don't want to, you know, be a bad example to them. You don't. Because what does it say? You know, there's an old saying, what you, I forgot the word. You don't want them to be like you. What you reap, you will sow, something like that. For the next 12 years, you know, you're going to deal with them, but at the same time, your best goal is to teach them the best you can. But when they are gone to the world, there are arrows out at the hand. So what it means right there is it's going to come times, you know, how fast arrows can be in the hands of men. That's how the kids can grow and be fast as arrows and men's arm, men's hand. A lot of times you might, or maybe you have control over them. In Matthew 20:13-15, it says, Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and their disciples rebuked them. But Jesus say, suffer little children and forbid them not to come into me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And what did he do right there? And he laid his hands on them, blessing them, praying for them. And that's why they brought the children to them. And that is one of the good examples that we follow up by bringing the children to they. That the elders of the church may do the same thing, something that Christ told us to do. Because let's remember that Christ, to us as grown-ups, is like a parent, like a mom, like a dad. They always pray for you and I, making sure that we are doing the right thing, even that we don't. So don't feel bad if you do have wrong things. Who doesn't? We all have wrong things in life, but there's always a chance, there's always a next day, a second chance for you to repent. There's always a chance. Don't forget that. By doing this, I give so much credit to my nephew Alan and Kelly for making this decision. That they are willing to bring their daughter to to be blessed. Something that as parents, that's a really good beginning to do something for her. And I know that they Allen, I have to say, is they're gonna be a really good parents to her. They're gonna be a really good parents, and they're gonna teach her the best they can, just to make sure that she's gonna have a really, really good life. Therefore, he takes all that he forbade. I'm bringing my notes here and try to shut out those whom has received. And all Christian is something that we need to do, that they should bring their children to the Savior, that he may bless them with the spiritual blessings. And every blessing that we receive, it is a spiritual blessing, because he loves you, he loves us, like it says here in Luke 12:34, it says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stone them, they are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as hen do gather her brood under her wings." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an example of a hen, how she cares for his children. As he was sitting in the Mount of Olives, he was looking at Jerusalem and is still feeling bad for we making bad decisions. But his wings, is willing to do something for us, to save us, just like a hen, like a chicken here with his little ones under. He's willing to protect us. And so for us, by doing this, you are willing for Christ to take over and protect your little one, as how he's been protecting us in life, to the point that we're able to come here and gather it to hear his words, because this is not my words, that's his words. And the way I see it here in Luke 13, he worries about you. He's willing to do and to go even to the cross to suffer and die for you and I. So no matter what you have done in life, you still have a chance. The way that he was brought up back to life and he was resuscitated, that we may be with him also. There's so much to talk about this, but this is just an example and a little bit about what Christ wants for you. In Deuteronomy 32:11, it says, "As an eagle stirred up her nest, fluttering over her young, spread abroad her wings and taking them, buried them under her wings." These wings, like I said, they're still reaching out today to gather all of us abroad. And as he's reaching out to you today, the question is, are we willing to gather together? Are you safe? Are you secure? Gathering under the shadow of his wings? In Proverbs, I believe it's 22:4 or 6, it says, "Train up your children on the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." That is our responsibility from the beginning, that we should train our children to do the best, to be not expecting to be the best, not expecting, because there's going to be a lot of obstacles in their life. They might choose different paths than what you thought, but whatever they choose, you're right behind them. You be with them, supporting them in any way you can, as God has told us to do. Train up your child in the way that he should go. I'm going to call my brothers to to do the blessing for the baby. And so if Gary and Brother Jerry will come up to the front
Our dear Heavenly Father, we lift unto you this beautiful little child, Hannah Sage Galvani. We lift her to you for a blessing, and we do so in gladness. We pray that you would look down upon her, and we know that you see things, you know the future. We know that as she comes before us now, she's such as the kingdom of heaven. She's innocent, she's pure, she's beautiful. But we know she has a life ahead. And that through joy and through sorrow, we ask that you would give her, give your angels charge over her, to protect her and to guide her footsteps.
What happened to her?
That you would rest with great power on her parents, Alan and Keely. You've given him a great trust in this beautiful little child. Be with them in it. Guide them. Give them strength. Give them patience. Give them endurance. That they might be great, great parents in those ways that are above all spiritual. That she would be guided. We ask, Lord, that as you guide her through life, through joy, through sorrow, through all the decisions she has made, that you would guide her to her eternal home with you someday, that day of final surprise. We pray that you would bless her, give your angels charge over her, help her and guide her, that she would make decisions in her life to dedicate herself to you in baptism, that she would be your child. In your service, and we do glorify you and thank you in these things. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Love you guys.
Me too. That was so
beautiful.
Thank you.
We're gonna smile.
She's sad.
She loves you. Thank you, Jose.
Thank you, Jose.
Hi.
So thank you. Okay.
I help.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for performing the blessing. They were beautiful words. And thank you for those words, Brother Jerry, as they are, because we have a whole life ahead of us, and that is our way, in the time that we have in our life, that our goal is to be in the kingdom of God, encourage her parents. There's this quite a few years ahead of us, but as you can see, the way it goes, time, it goes fast. It goes fast, and it's, sooner or later, I mean, you're gonna look back, and we just got to try to do our best. Brother Gordon, last week, he preached, and he touched a lot about what is about when they go to other countries to do a missionary, and it touched my heart so much, and I really see him standing right there by the river, trying to go across. I remember those days when I was in Mexico. As you were showing that picture where there was two tree trunks across the river and just people crossing with the trunk being all wet, you require skills. That even without shoes, you can go across that trunk, no problem. And that was me. I used to do that because there's a river right behind my house. And so I can either use that or just jump from rock to rock and just go across, no problem. And so, a lot of times you're like, what do you want me to preach, Lord? And so I know that the whatever you have to present is from the Lord. It's not so much from us. Our responsibility is to study a little bit more about what really God has put in your heart. And believe it or not, the Spirit of the Lord do speaks to you. And you have to listen. You have to listen. Sometimes you do ignore it, but a lot of times you feel it so strong that you have to listen. You have to listen. So right here, this is a little bit, it's like, you said it one time, it's like the second service from last week. but I'm going to speak a little bit about the two sticks that it talks about in Ezekiel. So what you see right here is what do they call them, Brother Gordon? They're not letters. What do they call them? The Egyptian... what is it? They were found. And what the prophet Smith found in those plates. So I'm not here to talk about him, but this is something that it might make sense when I finish. Hopefully, that's my goal. So we're going to go to Jeremiah 36. 1:4, and it says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations. From the day I speak unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And it may be the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them. Remember the Christ, the God, he will teach us a lesson even with our own enemies. He will use our own enemies to teach us a lesson for the simple reason that we stop following him and worship him and maybe worship other things. And he does not like that because why? He's a jealous God. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah, all the words of the Lord, which he has spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. My main key word here is that in those days, you can either write on this type of material, which is papyrus or something like that. It's called, it's like made out of some type of plant, maybe. What is it? Papyrus. Thank you. Or you can write a stick, like a wood stick, or you can write on rocks. But I guess that was the best ability they can do to write anything before paper. So the Lord declares to sinners the evil he proposed to do against them. And I remember that in those days there was so much going on the king of Babylon came and took over and just Jerusalem was destroyed. And why? Because they forgot the Lord and stopped worshiping him and started worshiping all their idols. Instead of seeing the blessings that were provided by God around them. And return from their evil ways. And whenever anyone makes this use of God's warnings and depends on his promise and mercy, we have to depend on his promises and mercy. Can't forget those things. And he will find the Lord and he will forget his sins. He forgave us. And when we worship the Lord, you know, it says that, I think it's in the book of Job. It says you don't worship the Lord only when good things happen to you in your life. You have to worship the Lord even when bad things happen to you. You have to give him credit and glorify him even when wrong things are going on in our life. Because that's the way it is, you know. Why would you just be happy with him when there are good things happening in your life? That's not what he wants. God wants to be glorified for everything. Because we know that everything belongs to him. Nothing is ours. We don't have anything. You know, what is the rich man says? I'm going to build a huge, storages and hide my richness and I'll be fine with my life. But what did God says, you know, you fool, you know, what if your life is required tonight? You're gonna leave all that stuff behind. So what is the root of richness? It's sin and it's death and it's all that stuff. And then you just wanted more and more. We never get filled as humans. We never get filled. We always want more. But remember that everything comes from the Lord. Jeremiah 36:1-4. And so, and says right here that the papyrus, okay, I forgot to write it down. So this is what it looks like, that second picture right there, there's two sticks. It becomes one book. So by the time you're writing and you have too much, those two sticks becomes a book. And so many scriptures in the Easter Hams here were writing upon papyrus. If it's more, they will roll up on one stake. If the book of a papyrus record was all become larger, they will use two sticks at each end. And then it become a scroll. So that's what it calls, that's a scroll right there. In the ancient times, it was the custom to write on papyrus and roll on a stick. Therefore, when this command was given, it was a way to direct that two books or records shall be kept, just like it says in Ezekiel 37. We're gonna get there. He said that we read about these two sticks, which is we believe that is the book of the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph. And Ezekiel 37:16-17. It says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion, and join them one another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. This is a lot of key words here. If you don't understand, I mean, I still don't understand myself. But the book of Mormon is the stick of Joseph, or sometimes it's referred to the stick of Ephraim, because it was written by the book of Mormon people, by the Nephites, who were the descendants of the children of Ephraim. And I believe the Joshua, the son of Nun, when Moses died, he took over as leader. And he was leading them for 7 years. And he was the leader of Israel, and so much that he was the one that gave or separate the land for each of the tribes. And that happened in 930 before Christ. And so he gave them their inheritance to each tribe. And in 745 BC, the Assyrian conquered the kingdom. And in 721 BC, the northern kingdom, which was the 10 tribes that were separated, disappeared, including the tribe of Ephraim. So now that's what you call the last 10 tribes that are gone, that we don't know what's going on. And this is how he became to be the stake of Ephraim. So who is Ephraim? If you remember, Joseph had two sons. Joseph had Manasseh, and the other one was Ephraim from I forgot her name. She was an Egyptian. Because if you remember, Joseph was the one he was in Egypt. He was the second governor. And then it's a long story, but he brought his father and his brothers back into Egypt because it was a famine. There was no bread. There was no food. And when the brothers thought that he was dead, even his dad, Jacob, they found him. He made himself known to them. And so that was a very special day, I believe, because they were able to be with him, and he was able to provide life, sustenance for them. But so he had two sons. Ephraim and Manasseh. And the thing that surprised me here is the Joshua. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. And I did a lot of research because I was confused, but yeah. And so it makes sense when it says and write upon it for Joseph the stake and the stake of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. It's like we believe that as we receive this other book, this other witness, it can be from everyone in the world, from any island in the world, for whoever, because there's so many tribes that still lost up there. We just, the one that has been found. In Ezekiel 37, 18 to 19, it says, "And when the children of the people shall speak to thee, saying, Would thou not show us what the means of this? Saying to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his followers, and I will put with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand." And this is what we have today, which is the Bible and the Book of Mormon. I know there are a lot of people, there's a lot of controversy out there, but don't take it from me. Don't. It's always, if you read it for yourself and understand that God is God, and there's only one God, and the head of the church is Christ. We worship Christ. He is the head of the house, as he says. We continue on 37, 20 to 23, and the stake wherein thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they gone, and I will gather them in every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation. We will be more separated. You know, when you come to Christ, you've been adopted to Israel. Because through the times, we've just been everywhere. We've been lost. We are not being found, as he says. But, you know, just remember the days. One day for him is like one year. 1 year is 10 years. He is not delaying his coming. But his coming is pretty close. It's pretty close. So you want to be part of this nation, of this one nation, and not longer be separated. Christ is the answer. He is the answer. And the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms and any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with the idols, for where they're detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them. This is the Lord speaking. I will save them out of all their unwilling places wherein they have sinned, and I will clean them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. This emblem was to show that the people, that the Lord will unite Judah and Israel again. Christ is the true Ruth, the shoot that came from David. And brother mentioned that tree that was cut, but there was one little, is that what it's called, shoot that it came from there. And that is that we are not lost completely. Christ is the true David of Israel, of all, and those who he makes willing on the day of his power. Let us study and know him for who he is, and be united in the spirit and the bond of peace. Let us seek for God, keep us from hating things. And let us pray that all nations may be obedient to the Son of David, that the Lord may be our God, and we may be his people forever. And that is a comment from Henry. It speaks so clearly. Right here, we see that the stick of Judah is more understandable. That is the Bible. And the Book of Mormon and the Bible comes to be one stick, one book. And the other one, which is the Book of Mormon, is the Stick of Joseph, which is become the Book of Mormon. In Isaiah 29:4, this is where we see this prophecy that has been true. The prophet Isaiah wrote in the book of the Book of Mormon. And there is some future will come out of the ground and be delivered to unlearned men. This unlearned man was the one who interpreted the tablets of gold that were hiding under the ground. And that will be your homework. Isaiah 29:4, it says, and thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And why does it say that? It's because the scriptures of the Book of Mormon was hiding in the ground. That's where Moroni, which is the last minister, prophet of the Book of Mormon, he was the last one who was able to do these things. So God told him what to do for the futures. Because the things that were happening, he will brought up his word to life for us. Because I don't know how it was in those days. There was so much sin that he decided to do these things. And now we are able to read and know how it was before, and we get to know that he has a plan for each of us. And so from the dust, his word will speak. And that's what convinced me that You know, and John in the last chapter, he says, you know, if all the books were like everything he wrote, there will be no place to hold all of them because there's so many books. He's gonna go to all the land, all the earth, you know, all the whatever his people is, and bring them together. That is the plan that he has, and that is how we know that we are from the tribe of Joseph. In the same chapter, Isaiah, verse 12, it says, in the book is delivered to him that is not learned, and say, and read this, I pray thee, and he say, I am not learned. But who is the unlearned man? That is the question. That is the question. And but prophecies, sometimes it's really hard to understand. And the second Nephi, at the Book of Mormon, second Nephi, 11 chapter, 136 to 140, it says, but behold, it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall say unto him to whom shall deliver the book, take these words which is not sealed, and deliver them to another, that he may show them unto the learning, saying, read this, I pray thee. And the learning shall say, bring hither the book, and I will read them. And now, because of the glory of the world, and to get gain, will they say this, and now for the glory of God. And the man shall say, I cannot bring the book, for it is sealed. Then shall he, the learner say, I cannot read it. In other words, the way I see it is that he was willing to read it, but not for the good reason. Not for the good reason. And so that's why it was sealed, and he was not able to read it. But what it says in 41 to 42 is, wherefore it shall come to pass that the Lord God will deliver again the book and the words thereof to him that is not learning. He's not learning. And the man that is not learning shall say, I am not learned. See, his humbleness helped him a lot. The way he answered helped him a lot. I am not learning. I'm humbling myself. I can do this myself. Then shall the Lord God say unto him, the learned shall not read them, for they have rejected them. And I am able to do my own work, therefore thou shalt read the words which I shall give unto thee. The conclusion of this prophecy here, of the stick of Joseph, and taken from the hand of Ephraim, is correct. Copied of the plates, it was copy of the plates, now is the Book of Mormon. The same that was taken to the professor, his name was Charles Anthem in New York by Martin Harris, which is one of the three witnesses of the plates, in the year of 1827, in fulfillment of Isaiah 29:11, the vision of all become into you as the words of the book, which men delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he say, I cannot read it because it's sealed, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he say, I am not learning. And this is the beginning, just the beginning of the story, where is the Book of Mormon. To me, the person who was not learning, how was he was able? I remember the words of Brother Don McIndoe. How can be possible? Because there's a lot of judge. But remember that God says, don't bother to judge anybody, because that's my work. I'll be the judge. I'll be the judge. We worship Christ. We worship God, and no one else. No one else. Joseph Smith was given the power by the Holy Spirit, the understanding to write, to interpretate this book that we have in our hands today. That's just my witness to you guys today that the words of Brother Dan, Don McIndoe, he said, how is it the one who is not learning, who had no school in those days, was able to put this, I don't know how many pages are in the book, like 900 or something, together in the way that he did, if he was not learning. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to do that interpretation. So I believe that God used the least understander, just like me. And remember that nothing is impossible for God, and I truly believe that. For behold, I am God, and I am God of miracles. You know, people say today that he is not a God of miracles. And another people, even in the Book of Romans, says that all the power has been given to men, that we should not go to God, but go to men for miracles, because God has nothing to do with the miracles we receive today, that his power has been turned away and given to men. And that's why there's a lot of misunderstanding in the world by having all these mega churches and people taking advantage of the people. Priesthood taking advantage of the people of the church. Like I said, don't listen to me. Read the word yourself, and you will come to some understanding. For behold, I am God, and I am God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. If you have faith, you can call to Christ. You can pray, you can worship him from anywhere. Remember what he told the woman at the well. There will be days to come that you don't have to worship, not just here in Israel, but wherever you are. You have the freedom that when Christ came back from the dead, he gave us the power to come to him and not to men. You can talk to him like a friend to friend. All your worries, all your heart problems in life, all your heart burdens that you deal with every day, you can always bring it to Christ, and he will make them light to you, because he loves you. And we're not worshiping a dead God, but a life. And that's what the devil thought when he was hanging in the cross. I win. He felt himself that he was victorious. Not so when Christ was, God brought him back to life, he conquered death. He conquered death, and he destroyed Satan. So every time we worship God and we come to him and we acknowledge him, Satan suffers. So don't be so far from God and trying to get close to him whenever you can. Because he is the same yesterday and forever. Hebrews 13:8, Malachi 3:6, and Revelation 1:8, you can read those. Even in the Bible, it's not just in the Book of Mormon, because it's the same gospel. The same gospel, the same news, the same good news, the word of life. And with that, I finish my comments for today. I hope I got something of this, but this is just the beginning. There's so much to say, so much to talk about it. But what we have today in our power, in our hands, the Book of Mormon and the Bible, it has become the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you.